Thanks for tuning in to Christian Devotion Speak Up, the show where Christian leaders come on and share their saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and how He brought them to serve the kingdom in a big way. I'm your host, Scott McCausey, and I welcome you to stick around and hang out with us. We've got a great show planned just for you. So for the next 60 minutes, turn off the television, turn up your computer speakers, and get ready to learn about Christ through our guest testimony and our ministry. This is Christian Devotion. Speak up!
Welcome in, my friends, where today I'll be discussing the hotbed topic of defending our faith, including the young earth slash old earth arguments, as well as a movie releasing hopefully soon called Genesis 3D. I've got the founder of creation today, Eric Hoven, coming in just a little bit, so be prepared tonight for a great testimony and hopefully some tools for your spirit-filled shed. Hopefully this will help equip you.
With atheism on the rise, how do Christians answer the skeptics' question about God? Does evidence help convert the atheist to Christianity? What proof do we actually need to present in order for the skeptic to worship the God of the Bible? Eric Hoven takes you on a high-energy journey examining the Christian's claim through the skeptic's mind. With practical, real-life, on-the-street examples, quotes from the skeptics themselves, and scripture, Eric's message lets you see the atheist mindset from a new perspective. Learn how to understand and approach the heart and mind of the non-believer with a bold, fresh, Holy Spirit-empowered love for the mind of the skeptic. Get your copy of the Mind of the Skeptic DVD at creationtoday.org at the Creation Store. It's brought to us by
Eric
Hoven.
Hey, we're back live, and I've got Eric Hoven with us. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm glad you could come in with us. And before we dive into testimony and talk about apologetics and all that good stuff, the Mind of the Skeptic. I talked to a gal at your office. They want to throw a copy out there for someone who emails me and gives me the address, first person, email me, tell me how much you love the show, and we're going to set them up with one copy of the Mind of the Skeptic. Tell us about what this is.
Yeah, it's a DVD project that we did last year because I had talked to so many atheists and so many skeptics, and I thought, you know what? I don't think most people realize that intellectually they don't have a leg to stand on. There are four simple questions that you can ask an atheist or a skeptic that will totally undermine the skeptic's worldview and perfectly set up the Christian worldview. So we go through and explain that in this DVD project. And so I think it's a really powerful look at what the Bible says about the skeptic, my interactions with skeptics, and what skeptics themselves have said about their own worldview.
Mm. Sounds like it's a powerful tool for folks to be able to use because, hey, face it, we're all going to be face-to-face with somebody out there in the world who has no idea who Jesus is or takes a stance completely against it. And where do we stand? You know, Scripture tells us we need to understand the point of how to defend our faith. So it sounds like this is a great tool to help do that.
It really is. It's a great entry level. It's not too complicated. Great entry level DVD for people to understand that and help not only help equip them, but encourage them. The Christian faith really is true. And I got a lot of other things to talk about that, but the Christian faith really is the truth. So not only do we have it, you can have the boldness that we have the truth. You don't need to be timid about that, but you can actually defend that.
Amen. Amen. So, folks, send me an email, scott@christiandevotions.us, and we can hook you up. Now, Eric, I discovered you when the big Ken Ham versus Bill Nye debate was taking place, and I think I was cruising through Facebook and, you know, looking, stuff was everywhere in regards to this debate, and it led me to Creation Today, and that was it. I was hooked, and I'm trying to get you on our program, and we're going to talk about all that tonight, but on Speak Up, I begin with a testimony focus, as this is very important. We know based on scriptures like 1 John 1, where John speaks of eyewitness accounts of Jesus and testimonies and how important they are. So tell us about growing up, Eric. Share about your home. Was it Christ-focused? Did you have brothers and sisters? Kind of give us the dynamic as a kid.
Awesome. Well, I grew up in an amazing Christian home. My dad was a pastor. He was a youth pastor at times. He was a school teacher in high school. He taught high school math and high school science. He was a principal at a private school in California. I've really run the gamut on a lot of different things when it comes to the world of Christianity. I mean, I literally grew up in the church. If the doors were open, we were there. My mom was the piano player, so she was the musician. And she could even play the organ, you know, where you got the feet doing one thing, the hands on two different levels doing another thing. Oh, man, she was incredible. And so, literally, man, I'm in church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Sunday afternoon and Wednesday night and Thursday night for choir practice. And the Christian school I went to was at the church. So I'm in church 7 days a week, man, all the time. Literally grew up in church. And around the age of 18 years old, I began to wonder if what I believed was really true. Mm-hmm. It came based off what atheists will ask. They'll ask this question, they'll make this statement. Hey, if you were born in India, you'd be a Hindu right now. The only reason you're a Christian is because you grew up in America. That's why you're a Christian. And I really began to wonder, you know, is that me? Am I just a product of my environment? Mm-hmm. And so I began to wrestle with some of the questions about God and about creation and evolution. And this is, I mean, my dad, from the time I was probably about 13 years old, was traveling and speaking on the creation versus evolution subject. So I literally grew up really knowing very, very well the arguments for evolution and against evolution, arguments for the Bible and against the Bible, arguments for intelligent design versus evolution. So I knew all these arguments really well, but I began wrestling with this, wanting to make sure that I had the truth. I said, God, I want the truth. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. And it was at 21 years old. I had kind of gone through a lot of the arguments. I knew, okay, yep, it's God. There's no doubt about it. Somebody had to make the world. And then at about 21 years old, I watched a DVD, a message called Hell's Best Kept Secret. And it was by a guy named Ray Comfort. I think you've had him on the show before.
Yes.
And Ray did an incredible job of unpackaging the modern gospel and comparing it to the biblical gospel. And I was blown away. I mean, I sat there in my living room watching this DVD and going, man, God, based on these verses, from what he's saying and the sermon that he's preaching, I've grown up in the church and I'm not a Christian. I mean, I knew a lot about God. I'm telling you, I have heard thousands of sermons. But yet I realized, wow, I don't really know God. You know, I still had a love and a desire for sin rather than a desire for holiness. I wasn't really a new creature in Christ Jesus like the Bible describes. I had become a product of my environment. I knew what to say and how to act and what to wear because that's the environment I was in. But I never really grabbed my own faith. I was living on my parents' faith. And I think there's a lot of people out there that resonate with that because we're brought up on our parents' faith, and we've never really gone on a journey, a quest, to discover our own faith. And so, I watched that message 3 times in a row that one night, and I lay down on that floor at 1 o'clock in the morning after watching that message for a third time, and I said, God, I'm sorry. I want to repent of sin, and I want to trust in you as my Savior. And I tell you, God changed my life that day, that evening, that middle of the night, really, when I did that. And he made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I began to desire righteousness, not to look good, but because I wanted to please my Heavenly Father. I wanted to please my Creator, my Maker, my Savior. And so it really was a huge transition in my life at 21 years old. And then I, of course, began to continue to study apologetics and how to defend the faith, and was traveling and preaching now and really teaching people, the other people, how they can know. And I really wanted to become, replicate what God had done in me, replicate that in other people, or at least through the power of the Holy Spirit, ask God to do that, to replicate what he had done in me and others. And so for the past 17 years now, I've been traveling and preaching and love what I do, teaching people the truth about creation, evolution, and teaching them how to defend their faith in God, teaching them apologetics.
Amen, amen. You hit on something that's very interesting because you're right. There's a lot of people out there, families, where, you know, they may go through the motions of having family worship at home, devotions at home, going to church often. You know, maybe they're in that vibrant youth group, whatever that might be, and then the next thing you know, their child, their son, their daughter is struggling with what to believe and why they're currently thinking that they believe something they really haven't been on that quest or that journey to understand. Eric, today you're a dad. What is your take on that? Based on what through having mom and a dad who loved you and were giving you this foundation, and yet here you were, you know, later in life, not quite getting it all. How do you cope with that now today with kids of your own?
Well, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and in the end, he will not depart from it. And there is a lot of truth there in giving kids the foundation that they need. And there's no doubt having that foundation of truth, whether I recognized it or not, was invaluable in my life. It's interesting. I'll give you two examples. I talked to a pastor yesterday who I'm going to be at his church here in a couple of weeks. And he said, Eric, you know this kid. He didn't tell me his name. He said, I can't tell you his name, but just so you know, he's heard you speak every time you've been here. I've been there for years. And he said, he has just walked away from the faith and is now believing in evolution and is really teetering on atheism, the idea that there is no God. And when you examine things like that, I have to agree with his name escapes me. He wrote a book on Karl Marx and some of the major philosophers of the day, and he examined their lives and their works, and he discovered something fascinating. He said, these men did not learn a worldview and then live that worldview out. Mm-hmm. He said, instead, they chose a lifestyle and then adopted or created a worldview to match the life that they wanted, the lifestyle they wanted. And I think in a lot of ways that's exactly what happens. The sins of this world are very tempting. They look good. They are something that people desire. Sin looks good for a season. And so I think we got a lot of people that, you know, grew up in church and then sin looks good and they go, you know, I think I'd like to go down that path. And so what do I need to do in order to go down the path of living for myself and adopting humanism? Well, I really need to throw off this religion of Christianity. I need to throw that away. And so it never really was their own. Jesus says, or the Bible says in Jude, James chapter 2, those that left us were never among us. And so I think we've got a lot of people in the church today that are claiming to have a faith, but if it really came right down to it, they would be what the Bible calls a false convert or a tare among the wheat. They're a hypocrite. I think we can trace a lot of things back to it's people deciding how they want to live and then adopting a worldview to match, rather than saying, I don't care how I want to live. I want to be molded and conformed to the image of God. As soon as we give that up and we decide we want to live for ourselves, we fall for the same lie that Satan told to Eve in the Garden of Eden, ye shall be as gods. Mm-hmm. And now that idea of humanism has swept into our culture. And it's swept into the four walls of the church today, where even in the church we got a lot of people saying, "Man, I sure would like to be God," and they're living, they're claiming to believe in God, but they're living for themselves and as if there is no God.
Yeah, amen. I think you hit the nail on the head: lifestyle versus living it, and it's scary, Eric. I mean, I've got four teenagers at my house right now. One son who's going into his senior year of college, and we sit around at home and we'll do devotions or whatever we might be doing, sing some songs, talk about who Christ is. But heard a sermon this weekend, and it was all revolving around 1 John chapter 1, talking about real fellowship and fellowship with one another, getting real with one another. You know, we all have these things, these sins that we struggle with. Man, we got to get those out. We got to get them out of our lives, and we have to have real fellowship with one another. Again, the living it, how important that is.
Absolutely.
So I went through an entire one question of all of them. We're never going to get through all these. Eric, I grew up also in a Christ-centered home, but not with an upbringing where I studied Scripture for answers. So lots of indoctrination about age of the earth based on the science books at the public school that I was going to, or the histories written by men. Did you have the curiosities as a youngster? Obviously, you shared your mom and your dad was a teacher, but you're still in this arena. Did you have these curiosities about these things that you were reading, that were teachers were providing to you, even things like dinosaurs? I mean, your curiosity had to have been really struck in a high note. Share about that.
Yeah, I praise God that my dad really did know the truth for a long
yes.
time. So I never really was tempted to believe in evolution or in millions of years. And it's because my dad said, here's the facts. Let me show you the scientific truth. Let me show you the facts. You know, when they discovered, for example, nowadays, a couple months ago, I was in California. I held the Triceratops horn that has soft tissue inside of it. Well, if this dinosaur that I'm holding its horn now, if this Triceratops died 65 million years ago, there would not be soft tissue in the horn today. Mm-hmm. And yet, his name escapes me, Michael, starts with an A. Anyway, the guy who discovered this, he was eventually fired because of this discovery. He was let go of his work, and I talked to him. But it's things like that. My dad would bring up the actual science. Hey, what about this? What about the fact that the Earth's rotation is slowing down? How can the Earth be millions of years old if the Earth's rotation is slowing down? I mean, what about the fact that comets coming through our solar system only last for about 10,000 years? Well, then why do we still see comets if comets can only last 10,000 years? Where did these comets come from? I mean, surely they're less than 10,000 years old if we're still seeing them today. Well, what about the fact that, you know, entropy, the universe is cooling off? I mean, why aren't we at a state of zero entropy right now? How come we're still in a state of not to that state of entropy? How come, you know, I could go on, how come the salts in the oceans are not saltier than they are? How come they only have enough salt content to account for several thousand years of the hydrologic cycle, where it rains, it washes the minerals into the oceans, and then it evaporates only the water off, and the minerals stay behind? And how come the oceans aren't like the Dead Sea by now? But why do we have literally thousands of reports around the world of people seeing dinosaurs? They used to call them dragons back in the day. How come dragons are reported throughout history? So I got all these facts, and I just went, you know, evolution, millions of years, that never is really tempting to me. That never really crossed my mind. I kind of always knew, like, there's no way that's true.
For sure. And, you know, I was listening to a teaching by Dr. Bodie Baucom where he was sharing how difficult it would be to change the Bible, to change anything that was written, because there's over 6,000 registered copies dating from the first scrolls. And here we are with our kids sitting in schools, and they've got a textbook written by a man where there's only like 9 copies going back through the age of time. Interesting. It's interesting to look at that. It's interesting to understand, you know, where our kids are. And again, like Ephesians 6 says, like Deuteronomy 6 says, we have to train them up. Eric, what would you tell a parent who knows there's these things within the school, yet needs to teach them at home in a real way? How would you recommend for them to go about it?
Yeah, first of all, you need to understand, and all parents need to understand this, there is no such thing as a neutral education. I'm going to say that again for the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Guys have to hear things twice, okay? Guys have to hear things twice, okay?
All right, yes.
There is no such thing as a neutral education, absolutely none. And you've got to understand that, okay?
Yes.
The Bible says if you're not for me, you are against me. And the public education system today is not for God. I mean, it is anything but for God. Now, we've got some Christian teachers, some Christian principals in there that they
yes.
love God, and I praise God for them. I'm so
Amen.
Glad they're trying to be salt in this and light in this world. But they're dealing with a system that is not based on the truth. They're dealing with a system that is based on humanism. So you need to understand that if your child is learning from the textbooks in the public school, they are not getting a neutral education. They are automatically getting a humanistic version, a humanistic worldview as the underlying philosophy of everything they're learning. And if you don't see that, then you'll never see the need to actually train them in the right worldview and show them the wrong worldview. My son all the time, we'll be sitting down and watching something together, and he's growing up. He's 8 years old now, and we're watching something on PBS, and they'll say something about millions of years, and he'll go, "Oh, that's not true." And then they'll say something else, and he has to say, "Oh, hey, Dad, is that true?" I'm like, yeah, that part's true. That was good science. They say something, "Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, good science." But he's always wondering, is what they're telling me really true? And the reason he has to do that is because of the fact that they mix lies right in with the truth. I mean, if you want somebody to believe a lie, you don't tell a bold-faced lie. You mix it in with a little bit of truth, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's for example, how they kill rats. They get a bowl of perfectly good food, slip in just a little tiny, tiny bit of poison, and then the rat gets poisoned and he doesn't realize it. That's the same thing that's going on with the education system today. There's a lot of great education out there, a lot of good facts, a lot of good science, a lot of good, you know, history, but there's also a poison that's being mixed into the public education system, and it's the humanist evolutionary worldview. And if you don't give your kids the antidote, if you don't prepare them with the antidote, that poison is going to affect their lives. And so you really got to understand that. That's why, frankly, that's why our ministry exists. We want to equip Christians to defend their faith in God. We want them to know God, defend their faith in Him, and then we want to challenge the unbelievers with the gospel. So that's, quite frankly, why our ministry exists and other ministries, apologetic ministries like ours exist, and there's a lot of them out there. I encourage you to get involved with one, man. Support somebody out there that's doing this full time. There's a lot of people that this is their full time job. You need to get out there and support them. It's amazing. It takes 454 ground personnel to keep one fighter pilot in the air for an hour mission.
Wow.
And I go, wow. You think about that. Hey, in the church, there are guys out there on the front lines that are doing it. Support. If you're not one of them, support them. You can't be the missionary. Support the missionary. Do something that's going to make a difference in eternity.
Yes, yes. You know, we're kind of weaving right through your testimony and that the life of your family by discussing, you know, the importance of defending our faith, the importance of Scripture, the importance of getting into it. And I love that. So there's another aspect we haven't touched on. I know you're married today. How did you and Tanya meet and discuss God bringing two people together to train up a family? Share how she helps you with this ministry.
Oh, man, I'm so blessed. I've got an absolutely amazing wife, Tanya. We've been married as of this last July for 15 years. I'm blown away. Here's how bad I needed the help, okay? Her family immigrated to the United States from the Ukraine. So they came over in 1995, lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. 2 years later, they moved down here to Pensacola, Florida, for her parents to work at Pensacola Christian College and for herself and her brothers to attend the school here. And they literally moved four houses down from my house, from where I grew up with my dad. So I got to marry the girl next door. That's how bad I needed help. And God, God brought her there, and it was just... Wow, I am so blessed. Her dad was a pastor in Ukraine and even went to Siberia in some of the underground churches and things under communism, and so they've got quite a story themselves. But I'm just praising God for providing an amazing wife who really sees the value and the need. I mean, I'll never forget when she was really. You know, once we got married, she said, "Eric, I don't know that I've ever met a real, real, genuine, living it every day Christian family and ministry like your family, because this is what we do. This is who we are. It's not a job. It's a mandate and a mission that we are called by God to do, and we can't stop. You know, He's called us to do this. So anyway, it was just a." I'm blessed. I'm so blessed with my wife. We've got three beautiful children. Jordan is my 8-year-old. I told you about him. Angelina is my 10-year-old, and she is smart as a whip, can memorize anybody's name so fast, and is such a social butterfly. I mean, oh, amazing. And then I got a phenomenal young lady now. Stephanie is now 12 years old, and God is just raising her up to be an organized, creative individual that wants to serve him with her entire life. And I'm so blessed with my family.
Sounds like you have lots of helpers to get the jobs done that you need help with.
Absolutely.
Eric, so my favorite.
We're training them up
ahead.
To do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and we're training them up to do that.
Amen. Amen. Eric, some of my favorite audios are of Greg Bonson and his debate with Gordon Stein.
Oh,
and
yes.
I love watching Ray Comfort on the streets of major universities working through his knowledge of God. And he's been a guest on the show, like I talked about. Ken Ham stands on New Earth when arguing for God. He's been on the show, too. Are there followers of Christ who have impacted your own methodology in debating the atheist or agnostic?
Absolutely. Everybody that you said, like I said, Ray Comfort, his DVD, Hell's Best Kept Secret, his sermon, Hell's Best Kept Secret. If you have not listened to that or somebody has not listened to that, stop listening to this program. I'm sorry, Scott. I just got to say that. Stop listening to this. Hit pause. Go
hit
listen
pause.
To Hell's
there
Best Kept Secret right now and then come back to this, okay? Go listen to Hell's Best Kept Secret. Phenomenal. I've been hugely impacted, obviously, by my own father, Kent Hovind, and all the debates. He's done over 100 debates with evolutionists. Of course, Ken Ham and all the guys there at Answers in Genesis, there's so many people there that have had a huge impact on my life. I love the work that Tim Chafee from Answers in Genesis does. He is just a theologian, and I love being able to bounce ideas off him. Vodi Bakum, of course, he's in our Genesis movie as the narrator, and he's got phenomenal, phenomenal messages.
Yes.
Another gentleman, Cy Ten Bergenkate, of proofthatgodexists.org. If you've never visited proofthatgodexists.org, that website was the beginning of what really radically helped me understand in a new way why my arguments, why my evidence wasn't making the difference that I hoped it would make when I encountered evolutionists. Because I'm like, look, I've got the facts. You know, what do you mean you believe the Earth is billions of years old? Look at the human population. There's only 7 billion of us. It would take about 4,400 years to get that many of us. What do you? There should be 100,000 people per square inch on planet Earth if we've been here for millions of years, like you're claiming. Anyway, so I was frustrated that people weren't getting converted, and at least not having their mouth stopped, as the Bible said. And I was kind of frustrated. And that website, I found that based on an atheist that tweeted about it on his Twitter account and said, hey, go make fun of this website. And I went there and I was blown away. I said, wow, this guy's hitting the nail on the head of how to effectively stop the mouth of the unbeliever, of the scoffer. Now, their lips might keep on moving and noise might keep coming out, but it literally shuts down the atheist and the agnostic and the scoffer. So really, really enjoyed that.
Amen. You know, Scripture tells us we must have an answer for the skeptic, 1 Peter 3:15. How can believers in Christ learn how to do apologetics well? I mean, you already talked about the Ray Comfort video. People need to push pause. Go. If you haven't pushed pause yet, go do that, and then
That's
you can
right.
always come back. Beautiful thing about Internet radio, you can hear this at any time. But how can believers learn how to do apologetics well and defend their belief in God's Word?
Well, first of all, the more I've studied apologetics, the more I've said to myself, I just need to know the Bible more. More arguments I've come up against, I've said, you know what? The truth is found in God's Word. And so if I don't just simply study God's Word more, I'm never going to have the truth. Now, on top of that, I think finding some podcasts like this or others that you can learn and glean some great information from. I also listen to Todd Friel from Wretched Radio. I think he's got a lot of great stuff. So finding a good podcast or somebody that you can invest in your life, being under the authority of somebody in a church, a pastor in a church, and then really, for me, it's reading books and watching DVDs. I'm reading a book right now, Why Good Arguments Often Fail by James Sire. And great book on, okay, how come my good arguments don't always work? How come they're failing? What am I missing? And so I'm six chapters in, and I'm really enjoying it. So what books are you currently reading? Our ministry has a store called the Creation Store, and it's filled with over 1,000 items that are nothing but, hey, here are answers for you to equip yourself so that you can train this next generation and do exactly what God has called us to do. I mean, let's face it, statistically, atheism is growing. Christianity is shrinking.
Yes.
Other religions are growing while Christianity is not growing at the same rate. We are actually losing the battle right now. And so it's time for Christians to learn what they need to learn and not be lazy and actually get out there and do the hard work of defending the faith. So
Amen.
I'd say, listen, first of all, get in the Bible, listen to others, and then, you know, teach yourself, invest in your own life. That can never be taken away from you. What you learn lasts a lifetime. So invest in that.
Amen. Amen. And it's so important, like you mentioned, other religions, the Muslim faith, are having six kids per family at an average. Here in the United States, we're under two. And based on statistics alone, our country is no longer going to be a Christian country. And even based on those families who are having less than two kids, of which a percentage of them aren't believers in who Christ is. So, yeah, it's very, very important to get into God's Word as much as we can. Now, as I mentioned, I love watching debates as it helps me formulate methods to defend, to defend the faith myself. However, these can be frustrating to watch. The atheist or agnostic, they like to talk in circles. And on Sunday, I watched a debate between you and an atheist agnostic named Greg and a theist named Bob. And I got so frustrated with their semantics and going round and round, and they didn't want to move forward and talking about real issues. Is it frustrating to you also? And what would you say to the believer in Christ who is talking to a friend who doesn't know who Christ is, and they just get frustrated because their friend has such a closed mind? Do they have the ability to open that up? Or, is this obviously is all God, but talk about that frustration.
Yeah, I certainly have been there many times myself and been incredibly frustrated. And let me give you something to remember when you go to your friends and you start feeling that frustration. As soon as you're like, oh, why can't you see this? Why can't you understand? As soon as you start feeling that, here's what I want you to remember. You're talking to someone who is blind, and they cannot see the truth. I mean, imagine how frustrated you would get if you were trying to explain colors to a blind man. Can you imagine the frustration of trying to explain blue and red and green and that, this banana is yellow and that this orange is orange? They will never understand until their eyes are open and they can see colors for themselves. Until that, they will never, ever understand it. It's impossible. And the Bible, in several places, speaks of the unbeliever as blind. It says Satan, the god of this world, has blinded them, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, has blinded them so that they cannot see the glorious gospel of Christ. They cannot see the truth. So you have to remember, you are speaking to somebody who is blind. Don't get frustrated. If a blind man tripped in the middle of the road, would you get frustrated and say, "Get up, you idiot, a car is going to hit you"? Or
good analogy.
Would you have compassion? Would you walk over to him and say, "Let me help you, let me try to guide you"? He may fight, he may resist, but let me guide you to the side, to safety, to truth. And that, in a sense, is exactly what our job is as believers. Man, pray the Holy Spirit allow me to guide people to the truth. And that probably is my number one prayer anymore, because I know that I can have all the best arguments in the world. I mean, I can have the rock-solid evidence that you can't argue with, but until the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, you will not see the truth. And so I'd say, number one, pray that the Holy Spirit opens their eyes and just recognize and realize that, look, they're blind. Then another thing I'd keep in mind as you witness to others, when you get to that frustration point, remember this. If it wasn't for the grace of God in your life, you would be that person. If it was not for God's grace in your life, the person you're arguing with would be you. And you're the one who would be saying those things. So that's why when the Bible tells us to be ready always to give an answer, that's why it comes with a warning and says, make sure, be careful, do this with meekness and with fear, literally with gentleness and with respect, because, oh man, you want the Holy Spirit to do a work. You don't want to be a jerk. I've seen, especially online, if anybody out there does online debates with atheists and agnostics, I've seen Christians out there behave worse than the atheist. And I sit there and go, wow, I can't even tell who the Christian is. And so
ouch.
I'd say keep those things in mind for sure if you're going to witness to somebody and you start feeling that frustration. Another thing to keep in mind is your job is to ask good questions. Greg Kokel wrote a great book called Tactics. And in it, he just exposes, look, our job is to ask them questions. You know, I'd say potentially even better than that book, Jay Lucas wrote a book called Ask Them Why. And I loved that book when I got a hold of it because I went, this really gets down to the heart of the issue. He's using the Socratic method. He's using the same method Jesus did of asking questions and Socrates used. And it just, okay, asking good questions exposes their worldview. It forces them to admit, to see that they don't have the truth. And so asking really good questions is a great way to not get frustrated, but try to guide or help somebody find, you know, the sidewalk, so to speak, if they've stumbled and they're in the middle of the road and they're blind and they can't see the truth.
Yes. You know, sometimes I think, too, we get frustrated because we want it to happen right now. I mean, we believe, we can see it, we've got God's word, yet we don't understand completely God's timing. So if we get frustrated and mad, and the next thing you know, the debate goes poorly, and you paint a negative light of what you're believing, they're going to point the finger back at you, and hypocrisy begins, and all of that bad stuff. But we have to remember God's time as well, don't we, in regards to these debates, that what we might have to say might not touch a nerve to them at that moment, but we don't know when God may open that person's eyes to seeing the truth. Is that a true statement? Eric, are you still with me?
Sorry,
Eric,
I hit mute on
my... Hey, there you are.
I'm there. Sorry about that.
I lost you for...
Accidentally hit mute. Absolutely, we got to be sensitive to God's timing.
Yes.
I got to be honest. I kind of grew up watching a lot of people try to seal the deal after one conversation. They almost treat it like they're hunting. And man, they want to, you know, they're ready to get somebody. They want another, you know, notch on their belt. And that's really most of the time not what it's about. If you're sharing one-on-one, and don't get me wrong, I love passing out tracts. I passed out tracts today. I love, engaging people that I'll never get a chance to see again, but especially the people that I do get to have an ongoing conversation with, don't expect to change their belief overnight. You know, I don't expect a Muslim to change overnight. Now, God can do that, and he has
yes.
done that. But for
yes.
the majority of people, it's a conversation and kind of an awakening. You know, it's interesting. I just was doing devotions this morning on, John chapter 8? If you will remain in the light, maybe it's not John 8, but if you remain in the light, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it's almost like it takes people a little bit. When you're in a really dark room, say you're in a really dark theater, and you go out one of the exits that takes you immediately outside on a bright sunny day, your eyes are not adjusted to that light, and you're like, whoa, that is bright. You almost want to walk back into the darkness and just hang out in the darkness a little bit longer. But the Bible says if you will remain in the Word of God, in the truth, then as you stay there, you'll begin to adjust. You'll begin to see it better. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Or then are you my disciples. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So being able to literally remain there in that light for a period of time and having, you know, helping create an environment where somebody can stay in the light of the things that influence them for the truth of God's word, for the truth of apologetics, I think is really important.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we have to move on to your ministry as well as this cool movie that's going to be coming out. Let's talk about creation today. How was this founded, and what kind of things are people going to see when they go to your website?
Well, I began Creation Today in 2007, kind of continuing the mission of a ministry my dad started. And I just said, look, our mission is to strengthen the faith of believers and win the lost to Christ. So when you go to our website, you're going to find literally hundreds and hundreds of free videos, hundreds of free articles, all my blogs and other people's blogs as well, with just a wealth of information, and all designed to equip you to defend your faith. Here are some nuggets you can use. Here's some bullets. you know, man, you don't ration bullets in wartime, so take all this stuff, use it, and go. Another really cool feature of creationtoday.org is our search engine. I don't know if you were able to see this, Scott, but our search engine, we actually created a brand new search engine that indexes all the top apologetic websites. So now when you go to creationtoday.org and you search something in our search engine, rather than only getting results from our page, you get results from all the top major apologetic websites. So it's one search engine that searches all those top sites, and what it really does, I guess, in a sense, we pulled a Google because that's literally what we're doing. We're Googling these top apologetic websites. So
yes.
We're doing that so that you don't have to go through all the junk out there. And
yes.
It's guaranteed good results. So that's one of the things that I just absolutely love about Creation Today. You're also going to find events. We don't just put our events where I'm traveling and speaking. We put lots of other Creation Ministry events on our website. So if you want to know, really, if you want to know what's going on in creation, you go to creationtoday.org. It's a wealth of information and updates and other ministries. And really, our goal is to synergize the efforts of lots of different creation ministries through Creation Today.
You know, and there's a cool podcast that you've got going on there as well with a guy named Paul. When did that thing get started? How long have you been on the air doing these short videos? Because there's some humor in there, but there's also some great tools. Again, talking about the gap theory, something that's getting more and more predominant today when people are talking about age of the earth. Maybe share a little bit about that podcast and when you got that whole thing started.
Yeah, when you hit the video tab, there are a lot of different videos. You can watch debates. You can watch the Creation Today show. We've actually been doing the Creation Today show now for going on 4 years. We're about to start filming season 4 of the Creation Today show. We've got 108 episodes available online for free right now. Debates are available as well. Interviews that we've done are available. And really all of that is literally designed. So just like this, people can hear it, listen, and get equipped. You're right. The whole idea of the earth being millions of years old and God using millions of years to create the world is creeping up. It's not, I repeat, it is not what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
The Bible very, very clearly teaches the earth is only about 6,000 years old. You say, I read my Bible, I never saw that number. Well, of course you're not going to see that number, but if you do take the numbers that are in there and add them up, the Bible says Adam was 130 when he begat Seth.
Yeah.
Seth was 105. You know, you go through the longevities. The Bible very clearly teaches the earth is only about 6,000 years old up to today. So we actually did a chart, put a chart together. You can look it up online on our website. They're called the Longevity Chart. And it traces from Adam all the way down to Joseph, showing, look, the Bible is clear. The earth is not millions or billions of years old. You know, of course, we got the science there, too, to back up what the science teaches, about the age of the earth. But, it's a wealth of knowledge, and it's really the portal to all the apologetics that you need to know.
Very cool. Very cool. CreationToday.org. Listeners, go there. I've been there. The videos are fantastic, and there's just a wealth of information. You have questions on different aspects of creation, of the Bible. There's all kinds of – it's just a wealth of information for you to find stuff. So I encourage you to go there and check that out. Now, Creation Today is also in the midst, I believe, of helping produce or producing a huge project, one that I've been following the development of. This gigantic thing called Genesis 3D, and the last post I seen, they were like rolling in all these hard drives and immense amount of technology and computers to build this. Share with our listeners who have no idea what I'm talking about what Genesis 3D is all about.
Well, many of us have read many, many times the words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
But nobody's ever seen it. Our desire is to create a film that literally shows God creating the heavens and the earth. So we're making Genesis 3D. The website for that is genesismovie.com, genesismovie.com. We're creating Genesis 3D to cover chapter number 1, the creation of the world, where instead of just hearing in the beginning God, you're going to actually experience. And that's why we're doing it in 3D, is so that you can literally experience the creation week of God creating the the land and the sea and the animals and the birds and the fish.
Yeah.
And so you're literally experiencing creation take place. And while you're doing that, you're also hearing the latest scientific research. You're hearing all kinds of facts to show, look, we stand on the authority of God's word for a reason. It's true. And if God is the creator, that has some serious implications for the way all of us live our lives.
Yeah.
We are going to be accountable to that God one day. And let me tell you, my friend, you, whether you like it or not, will stand before the one true creator God. And you're going to give an account for the way you live your life. And so at that point, I'd swing right over to the law of God and share with you, according to God's law, nobody gets in. We are all guilty sinners. The Bible says that, and it doesn't even have to say it. You know it. You
That's
are
right.
a sinner. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God, then you need to experience allowing your Creator to become your Savior. He is willing. He is able. Nobody else can. And you need to find out the truth about how you can trust in what Christ did for salvation.
Amen. Amen. You know, Genesis 1 is so important, and it comes under attack often. You know, the critic will say, well, you know, okay, first and foremost, an old earth. You can go in between each day and figure things out. I tell you, even Christians will sometimes say, yeah, it's an old earth. I can see how this, that could be poetic. But when we get into words like the day, and we take the word day in the Hebrew, and then we look at other contexts of that specific word used in other areas of Scripture, it is literally a 24-hour period. It's so important, though, to understand if we don't have a leg to stand on from the beginning in Genesis 1, people can pick apart the rest of it, can't they?
They absolutely can. And see, Satan knows this, Scott. He knows you don't have to go and argue against every single book of the Bible. All you've got to do is take out the foundation.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he's been doing, is he's been trying to take out the very foundation, Genesis, because every book of the Bible is based on the truth of Genesis. Why did Christ die on the cross? Well, for sin. Well, where do we get this idea of sin? Genesis 1-11. Why do we talk about modesty or marriage and clothing? Genesis 1, you know, 1-11. Where do all these concepts, all these doctrines come in? They all come in Genesis chapters 1-11. So if we want to take a stand for the authority of God's word, well, we've got to start with the foundation, Genesis 1-11. And so that's why this subject is so important, because if Satan can undermine that, if he can undermine Genesis chapters 1-11, the very foundation, now there's no need for a Savior. Now there's no foundation for marriage. Now there's no foundation for one man and one woman. Now there's no foundation for any of it.
That's right.
You know, if they dismiss it, like you say, oh, that's just poetry. Okay, well, if it's poetry, then who is Jesus Christ the descendant of? An ape man? I mean, if Jesus is the last Adam, who was the first Adam?
That's right.
You do have to take God's word as truth.
That's right. And I think that's why this movie is going to be so important. I was pumped when you said just a little bit ago, Vodi Bauckham's going to be the narrator of this thing. You know, there are so many different cogs pulling this whole thing together, and Vodi's been on the show before as well. I'm curious when this thing's coming out, Eric.
Maybe you
can share with our listeners. When is this thing going to hit?
Well, we just had a big meeting with executives this past week and are still finalizing a timeline for this. Tomorrow I leave for Answers in Genesis to take all this material that we have going into the film to their editorial review board to get approval on everything. So we're really excited, but I'm not ready to give a timeline yet. I can tell you that this is coming, though. It won't be this year. It would be next year. But this is coming at just a crucial time. It's kind of helping create what I'm calling the perfect storm with all the things happening at when this movie is gonna break. It really is kind of gonna be the perfect storm. It's just gonna be phenomenal. So we're still raising funds. We are still a few $100,000 away from meeting our final budget. We've already raised over $600,000 total for the film between investors and crowdfunding. And so we have a little bit more to do, and the film will be fully funded. And, man, I cannot tell you. Think about this. We're supposed to put our – you don't put a light under a bushel. You put it on a hill, right, on a candle.
That's right.
Well, did you know more people go to movies than go to sporting events? All sporting events combined. More people go to movies than all sporting events combined in the U.S.
Wow.
We want to take the truth of the gospel and the truth of creation and set it on that hill. Put it right there where lots of people can see it. So it will have a huge impact, I believe, on a lot of people's lives. And just like you said, you're excited. Oh, man, I'm sitting here watching it unfold. I can't be more excited about a project than I am about the Genesis 3D movie. So, man, if you want to get kind of the behind the scenes, go to GenesisMovie.com or go to the Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheGenesisMovie. And I'm telling you, you're really going to be blown away at the work that God is doing. And I'll say it again, God is doing this and pulling these things together in just a phenomenal way through so many people getting excited about this. So it's a wonderful thing.
Amen. I'm just super enthused that it's happening. I mean, I've seen the trailers and I've seen the work and some of the videos, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be so good. And with the Christian, some of the Christian movies kind of gaining some momentum, and man, some of them Hollywood movies need to go south, I tell you what. But with some of those good Christian movies starting to gain momentum, I think this thing can just catapult. So I'm excited too. Listeners, go to those sites. Help fund this thing. Help get this thing done. I'm excited to see that out there. I know you will be too, especially with the importance of what Genesis stands for and our belief of the Bible and who Jesus Christ is. Eric, what have we left out?
Oh, man. well, we've covered quite a few things. We didn't talk about carbon dating or dinosaurs or cavemen. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of other topics we can talk about, but I guess I'll just tell your listeners, go to creationtoday.org. We've got lots of videos on those things where you can get lots more information about creation versus evolution and prepare yourself to defend the faith of God to a lost and dying world.
Amen. So, Eric, when that movie hits, when we get close to having that movie hit sometime next year, You got to come back. You going to come on back, and then we'll answer some more of those questions. We'll talk more about the movie. Is that a deal?
That sounds great. I'd be honored to.
Fantastic. We'll do it. Well, it's been awesome having you tonight, Eric. And, folks, we'll be here again next Tuesday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We talked about the Writer's Advance Boot Camp. Larry Leach will be with us, one of the teachers, so I'm excited about that. Folks, like I say, each and every week, grab the Bible, grab God's Word, teach it to your kids as the Bible tells us we need to be doing. Folks, we'll see you next week. Have a blessed week.